Now then, open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about this morning. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10, I'm going to read beginning at verse 38 and read through the end of that chapter, verse 42. Luke 10. Verse 38 through 42, after we pray. Our Father, we're dependent upon Thee in every area and measure of our lives, of our ministries, of our homes, of our families, of our jobs, of those who have businesses, whatever. We need Thee more than we need anyone else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We know that there is no other God besides Thee. Thou art the only true and living God. We come to Thee, depending upon Thee, trusting Thee, claiming every promise. I pray that You'd open our minds through the Scriptures, that we may be able to learn from Jesus Christ, who is the Master Teacher. In His name we ask it, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister. By the way, where the woman and one woman in the house, sister, whatever, it's going to be a little conflict. You'll see it in this text here. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Isn't that a wonderful passage? It gives us life at its different stages and different things that happen. Every event in your life and mine has a beginning and an end. And I must tell you, the way that it ends will depend upon the way we begin it. You will never get to the right designation unless you're going in the right direction. If you want to get to Austin, Texas, and go out here and get on 35 North, you will not reach. You'll have to go around the globe to get to Austin. So stay on the right track. Stay on the right road to get to the right designated place. Now, this road that you and I are traveling is paved with stones of service, sacrifice, and submission. I would remind you that there are obstacles on the way. There are obligations and opposition, but don't be afraid of opposition. The kite flies against the wind and not with it. I heard J. Frank Norris say many years ago, when trouble comes, stand your ground. Don't run. It's better to go down swinging. That's a good philosophical statement. Wish I'd have said that. Everybody knows this little ditty. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Would you permit me, and whoever wrote this would permit me, to add some words and change some words? Please listen carefully. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the club. Every one of us, every person in this room, without exception, has at one time or another tasted the bitter cup of failure. By the way, God allows U-turns. Aren't you glad about that? A whole lot of us have made U-turns in our lives. Wonderful that God has that for us. Failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not futile. How many of you know that Thomas Edison failed 1,000 times before he perfected the light bulb? Now just suppose he had quit at the 1,000th time. You and I would be watching television by candlelight. I'm glad that we get knocked down just in order that we can get back up again. You know what a football coach never looks for? A man that gets knocked down. He looks for a man who, after he gets knocked down, is able to get up. Get up, my friend. Don't stay under the load and the pressure of it and the shame of it. Get up and get going again. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 24 and verse 16, a just man falleth 7 times and ariseth again. How many times have you fallen? Get up. 7 is a number of perfection in the Bible. So that includes, if you fail 77 times, you can still get up. Because God is a merciful God. Don't go around telling God how good you are. He knows better. You may fool your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your friends, your children, but you'll never fool God. As an eye that never sleeps beneath the wings of night, as an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. He knows all, he sees all, he hears all. I kind of feel like telling you what Jonah said to the whale. You can't keep a good man down. Something else he said. I wouldn't be in this big mess if you'd have kept your big mouth shut. We can get some lessons from this on the side. This is off script. But I think it'll help you. You know, no one else has your DNA. No one else has your style, your form, your personality, your potential, your persistence, your performance. God is leading you every step of the way. And by the way, I can tell you, God has 20/20 vision. No astigmatism, no blind spots, no cataracts. He sees it as it is. And I assure you that he's given a green light somewhere down the road for you to go through, because he has somewhere for you to go and something for you to do. Don't miss it. I have a lot of people in my acquaintance. I've been around a long time. I've seen some day after day and week after week who are sitting around regretting what they didn't do or what they did do. Let's get over that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get beyond that. Listen to what God says. Psalm 32 and verse 8. He will guide you wherever he wants you to go. Here's what he said. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee. Now get this. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And by the way, I just told you he has 20/20 vision. And he's not going to miss one single thing. He will see it all. Now, there are three things you should keep in mind as you go through life, maybe trying to discover God's will. Number one, God's plans are perfect. Psalm 18 and verse 30, the psalmist wrote, as for God, his ways, that is his plans, are perfect. Number two, his paths are pleasant. Psalm 16 and verse 6, his plans are pleasant. The psalmist wrote, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. And number three, I love this one too. His presence is promised. Aren't you glad of that? And that's written in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It's something that Jesus said. What's he doing in Hebrews? Because the writer of Hebrews, whom I believe to be the Apostle Paul, if you don't believe that, God will probably forgive you. But I believe that Paul was quoting Jesus. He loved to quote Jesus too, and I do. And he said in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee. And I understand, and I'm certainly not a Greek scholar. I leave that to these other guys around here. But I understand the Greek says it five times. I will never, 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 never leave thee. Isn't that great? We need some English translation like that, don't we, where we can speak it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, the record in my text is one of the most meaningful, most moving, most magnificent scenes in the life of the Lord Jesus, who, remember, is our master teacher. I'm entitled this message, and I know I'm not going to get through with it. But you'll get some of it, and I'll give the rest of it to you later. You want to come back, won't you, to get the other part? I'm moving a little slow. Martha and Mary, as we've already noted, were sisters. They had a great deal in common. They both were very much aware of the power of Jesus to raise the dead. The classic example is in the situation of their own brother, Lazarus. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, get up. Arise. Come on, go with me. You got another life. So they were keenly aware that Jesus had the power to raise the dead. Now they both were filled with joy because Jesus came to their home to visit with them and to share a meal with them. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful thing? What if Jesus knocked on your door today? Said, I've come to visit with you for a while, and I'm sure I smell dinner cooking. By the way, if Jesus did that, would you have to rearrange some things in your house? Maybe take some things out of the refrigerator, out of the closet? Hello? Are you leaving me? Don't leave me up. They've already left me up here by myself. So what would you do? If Jesus came and said, well, I've come for dinner, And after that, I want us to chat a while. Well, we won't have that in the flesh, but we can certainly have it in the spirit. And if your heart is right with God, Jesus will be a welcome visitor in your home, unannounced. Did you hear me? Unannounced. No warning. Just take it like it is. They were both filled with that joy. They both had a great love and a great respect and a great admiration for Jesus. Watch this closely. As their similarities were evident, so were their differences. God didn't make us all alike. Aren't you glad that we have different faces, different shapes, different tones of voice? We're all different. They had differences as well as similarities. Martha was always worried and troubled and agitated and irritated and aggravated because of what she had to do, complaining. Well, I can say she chose a good thing, but it was at the exclusion of the best thing. Certainly, it was a good thing for her to prepare a meal for Jesus. But it was the best thing to sit at his feet and be trained, taught by him. I'm bold enough to tell you that you'll learn more at the feet of Jesus than you will in any college and on the planet. What did Jesus do? He kindly, compassionately, and yet sternly rebuked Martha. Look at verse 41. Now we're remembering things from the master teacher. Now, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. By the way, when Jesus repeats your name, you better listen up. He's got something extremely important to tell you. Martha, Martha. I can hear the change in the tone of his voice. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. It is as though Jesus was saying to Martha, why do you trouble yourself with temporal things when you should give yourself to the eternal? Eternal things that can change your life forever. Concentrate on things eternal, folks. Let me quote Dr. Norris again. 73 years ago when I was a student of his, he taught us students, here it is, live in eternity, not in time. These timely things are all temporal. You and I should give Jesus our undivided attention. He's the key to everything. He's the key to all wisdom and happiness and success and peace of mind. Live in eternity. The things that are seen, ladies and gentlemen, pots and pans and cooking utensils, are all temporal. The things that are not seen, faith, hope, love, are eternal. Which do you think you should be engaged with? A few things that you can see that may not even be here tonight or tomorrow, but some eternal verities, eternal truths that will always be here. Doesn't matter who isn't here, who is here, those great truths will always be here with us. Let me give you Paul's commentary, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul wrote, while we look not at the things which are seen, Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. Get the difference between temporal and eternal. Now then, although these eternal truths are not seen, God has put something in the vaults of our soul that cannot be erased, cannot be eradicated, cannot be eliminated or invalidated or exterminated. Now I want to give you some things that you're probably not going to want to believe. I wonder if I believe it, and I read them years ago. The scientists tell us, and those that study the brain, by the way, you have to have a brain to study a brain. Did you get that? Those that study the brain tell us that once a thought enters anyone's brain, it is never, never, can never be erased. Aren't there some things that you wish you could erase? Entered your brain last night, or last week, or last year, or 50 years ago? Still there, according to these scientists. I don't claim to be a scientist. I do quote them once in a while with some hesitation. Well, you get this next thing from the scientists. The human brain, they say, has 1 billion, that's with a B, billion cells that are known as neurons. That sounds all right. But listen to this. To use the storage capacity of your brain, you would have to learn something new every second for 10 million years. Wow. I don't believe any of us could do that, but they say that's the way it would be. 10 billion cells. I haven't counted mine lately, but I'm going to take them at their word. Now, Martha failed to realize what she missed by not sitting with Mary at the feet of Jesus. By the way, instead of listening to Jesus, she censored Jesus. She attempted to tell Jesus what to do. Time out. Nobody tells Jesus what to do. Verse 40, look at it. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? That's what you call a one-party complaining party. Nobody but her. Nobody's going to listen to her either, especially Jesus. Verse, that was a pity party. Do you ever have one by yourself? She did. Now, here it is. Don't miss this. She said to Jesus, bid her, therefore, that she help me. In other words, she said to Jesus, tell her to get back in my part of the house. Tell her, come on back here and help me. You tell her, Jesus. Don't be trying to tell Jesus what to do. I hear some people pray at times and they want to tell Jesus what he ought to do next. Forget it. He knows what he's going to do next. Now you can ask him, put a question mark, but don't put an exclamation point. You can't tell Jesus what to do. Listen, Martha is the only woman in the New Testament that complained about her workload. Only one. Someone has observed that God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and started taking complaints on the eighth. And let's face it, we've kept him a lot of Fridays. We've kept him busy. Complaining about this and complaining about that and complaining about the other. Why don't you just shut your mouth and turn off your brain and quit complaining? You say, but that's a little harsh. Well, I intended for it to be. Martha should have known that Jesus possessed all the wisdom and knowledge of the Godhead. Listen to what Paul said about it in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. After all, he's the great I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's the Master Teacher. Well, my time is about gone. I'm going to close it out here. On the other hand, looking at Mary, she was willing to leave the dishes in the sink and the lamb chops on the stove for the privilege of sitting at the feet of the Master Teacher. And by the way, John 7:46 says, never a man spake like this man. In spite of the household chores and pressing duties, Mary chose the best thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus, from whom she could learn the things that would make her a better person, a better housekeeper, a better neighbor, and a better friend. And here's the statement I don't want you to miss. Mary knew that Jesus would not be there very long. He didn't come to stay all day and all night. He wouldn't be there very long. So she seized the opportunity to learn what she could, when she could. And guess what? Jesus commended her. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. He's talking to Martha. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Well, I have several pages left in my notes. I don't want to be like the preacher who said, I could go on and on and on and on. Little boy sitting on the front row said, sit down and shut up. You're out of notes and you know it. I'm not out of notes. I'll be back. Father, we thank you for this hour, for your precious word. We thank you for the lessons so far that we've learned from a pair of sisters who had so many differences in spite of their sameness. Now I pray that you bless every person that's listened and heard these words, not because I spoke them, but because Jesus spoke a lot of them. And Mary and Martha spoke a lot of words. But the greatest word is the word of God. May we never neglect it. May we take it with us and hide it in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being here today.